from Tampa, Florida. The voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, joins us as well. So the Flames fall in a shootout. They don't score a single goal in that shootout on Saturday night. That is now the eighth consecutive shootout loss the Calgary Flames have suffered. They have not won a shootout game since November 5th of 2017. That was a win over the New Jersey Devils. What's weird is that before this eight-game shootout drought, they'd won 6 of 7, but now eight straight games that have gone to the skills competition, the Flames have not won. Derek, is this just a matter of the coin flipping the other way, or is there something a little deeper? Is there actually a problem with Calgary in shootouts of late?
Well, there's been a problem. I mean, they've lost eight straight in shootouts, so clearly there's an issue there, but as we've discussed before, guys, I am not a big fan of the shootout of the skills competition. I'd rather have a shootout than have a tie. But with that said, I'd also much rather have a little bit more 3-on-3 overtime. So at least it's decided by, you know, three guys and a team as opposed to one guy versus one guy in an individual skills competition. But you look at the talent the Flames have, you wouldn't think they'd have an issue scoring goals or preventing their opponent from scoring goals in shootouts. But that's been the case for quite some time, and who knows, maybe once their luck flips, they'll win eight straight shootouts, but it hasn't been a good stretch, has it?
It's weird, because Tkachuk went on that heater, I want to say, a couple of years ago, and
with
he's
that
been
little flip shot.
Yeah, and it has not worked, I want to say, like the last five times he's tried it. And Monahan's, you seem to know what you're getting there, but outside of that, it feels like there's more juggling than there's a set order, to the point now where Gaudreau didn't even go the other night, and based on the data, I get it, but based on the player, I don't, if that makes any sense to you, Pat.
Well, it's crazy because, you know, you'd think, Derek, that Gaudreau was just an automatic in the shootout. 4 for 18 for his career in the shootout. Like, we're not talking about, that might be one of the few offensive areas that Gaudreau has struggled in during his career. We know what he can do in overtime. We obviously know he's one of the most dangerous players in the league when we're playing actually in game, but in the shootout, it just has not gone his way throughout his career.
No, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? I mean, he's got great hands. He's able to read goaltenders and figure out what they're going to do before he knows or they know what he's going to do. So it doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but maybe one of the reasons why Bill Peters didn't go Johnny Gaudreau on Saturday night versus the Canucks was his history, and he doesn't have a great one in shootouts. So one of the reasons he probably gave James Neal a shot. And, you know, I think for coaches, too, they've got a way better feel for who's going and who's not going on their bench. And I think that plays a big part in who they select for shootouts. But you know, the Flames might want to start ending games in regulation time or at least overtime and avoiding shootouts with the lack of success they've had of late.
Just looking. My count here, Johnny's got one in the last 3 years combined. Now, the Yikes. Attempts aren't huge, 7.
Yeah.
But one in 3 years sounds insane for a guy that seems like a lock for 100 points this year.
It's hard to wrap your head around. You're right, Derek. A guy that good could only have 4 shootout goals to his name in 18 attempts. It's just not. It does not mesh with the type of player we know Johnny Gaudreau is. So we'll see. The Flames have lost 8 consecutive games in a shootout. November 2017, the last time they won a game in that fashion. It's our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. Derek, Ryan, and Pat along with you. So since the All-Star / CBA break, the Flames have won just once in 4 games. They're 1-2-1, which I think we could all say by their standards this season is a slump for Calgary. Just our observations. What are your observations of the Flames in the 4 games they've played since coming off the break?
You know what? I think they probably deserve to have a better record than they do, but they had some luck earlier in the year where they played stretches where they probably didn't deserve to win a bunch of games and did win a bunch of games. And now I kind of feel like the luck's turned on them a little bit. I mean, you take a look at that game against the Canucks in Vancouver on Saturday night. The Flames should have won that game. They should have won that game in regulation time. It should have never made it to overtime or a shootout. Season high for shots on goal. That second period was as dominant to 20 minutes as I've seen from anybody all season long. And they just couldn't get enough done in the second period of that game against the Canucks. And, you know, to his credit, Jacob Markstrom was the best player on the ice by a country mile, and he stole 2 points for the Canucks on Saturday night. But, you know, the Flames played well in that game, and I think they played fairly well against the Sharks. Again, Needed a couple more saves in that one and needed to do a better job burying their opportunities because the Sharks were more opportunistic than they were, just like the Canucks were again on Saturday. So I'm not really all that concerned with the way the Flames are playing. But all of a sudden, what was a pretty comfortable lead atop the division and the conference has shrunk and is gone when it comes to the Sharks. So Flames might want to figure out ways to win starting sooner rather than later here.
Yeah, I'll say this. I don't think there's an issue with David Riddick as the number one moving forward, but the four games since the break, you could probably argue the Flames have had the better goaltender in one of the four. That's about it. So I don't think that's going to be a problem for this group, but this is a function of playing 82 times. There are, you know, there's games you play well, you don't get the bounces. There's games you don't play well, and you get a ton of bounces. We saw a lot of that from the Flames, I want to say, Christmas into the break, and now out of that CBA break, you know, Lady Luck has not been on their side as much. But hey, look, this is a real good hockey club. These are first world problems. You'd rather be here than 4 points out of a wild card like we've become accustomed to over the last decade or so in the city.
So are you guys worried about the goaltending at all?
I just said no, so I'll stay no.
I was going to bring it up on tomorrow's roundtable. Well, let's go there right now. I'll be honest with you. I'm still not feeling overly confident in what I've seen from Mike Smith. And when you couple that with the fact that I feel like over the last few weeks, David Riddick's game has dipped, I'm a little concerned about it. I won't lie. It's the one area that I think could derail them in the postseason. I think that Riddick is still the better of the two options? Yes. But I look at it, and I've seen some suspect goals go on and in on him over the last little bit, and the save percentage has dropped fairly significantly over the last number of weeks. So his game has dipped. Smith's game continues to be fairly mediocre. Of all the areas I'm concerned with, that would be the number one for me.
Sorry, guys. I'm just riding my Harley down the street here as we do a hit. You know what? I am a little bit concerned, guys. I do think that when you look at where they were at for most of the season, Mike Smith is trending slightly up right now for me, and David Riddick is trending slightly down. Now, where that leads in the next week or month or for the rest of the season, I'm not sure, but I do think this is a really important stretch for David Riddick because, as we've talked about this season, really, he hasn't faced a lot of adversity, at least not during the regular season, and since, you know, establishing himself as the Flames' number one guy, he certainly faced some adversity in the preseason when a lot of people thought the Flames should either trade for a better backup goaltender or pick somebody up off of waivers. But since then, it's been pretty smooth sailing for David Riddick until recently. So for a young goaltender who's trying to prove that he's not only the number one guy short term, but should be the number one guy long term for the Flames, how he responds to this stretch of adversity is going to be really telling. And I assume he's going to get the start against the Lightning tomorrow night. At least that's what I would do if I was Bill Peters. But I do get the sense that his leash is a little bit shorter now than it maybe was a couple of weeks ago.
We'll talk about it later. But Elliot noted that he wouldn't be surprised if silently the Flames were sniffing around to see what's out there, what sort of help they could do get Riddick, be it in a platoon or a straight backup. Look, the best goalies in the NHL all have stretches like this. And I'm not here to say that David Riddick is a slam dunk best tier goaltender in the NHL, but he's played a lot of hockey, and I don't know that the 182, 940 plus on the road was going to stay that way. Mm-hmm. He was due for a soft year two on the road. I'm not going to overreact to the small sample here.
Well, I am curious to see what this team looks like against Tampa on Tuesday night, because the last time these two teams played on December 20th was outstanding. We'll talk more about that tomorrow on the Flames Roundtable. But our final topic today, it's Derek, Ryan, and Pat, Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Just a thought on the opposition on Saturday. They aren't going to really factor into where Calgary finishes in the standings, but Vancouver is still right there fighting for a playoff spot. Anything change in the way we look at the Vancouver Canucks with what they did against the Flames on Saturday night?
You know what? They could potentially be a first-round opponent for the Flames. If the Flames win
the
Western Conference,
that's a fair point.
The Canucks sneak into the second wild-card spot. Guess what? We'll have another Calgary-Vancouver best-of-seven series. You know what? The Canucks have been one of the most pleasant surprises for me in the NHL this season. And I asked Travis Green about it, and he told me on Saturday that he thinks internally expectations were higher than they were externally for the team. So he's not completely shocked with where they are now. I also think you have to take where they are with a grain of salt, because the bottom of the Western Conference has been absolutely horrible. So if this was a regular season, we wouldn't be talking about the Canucks being in the playoff picture. They'd be out of it, but it's not. And a bunch of teams are struggling as they try to solidify their spots in one of those two wildcard spots in the Western Conference. But I do think the Canucks are headed in the right direction. And if they leave it alone and just let the team naturally develop, I do think that they're going to end up in a good spot. Whether that's a year or two or three down the road, I'm not sure. But they've got such good young players there. Obviously, Elias Pettersson is elite and is only going to get better. And he's been phenomenal in all three games against the Flames this season. But Bo Horvat's a really good player. Brock Besser's a really good player. They've got Quinn Hughes probably coming up before the end of the regular season, guys. I'm told that they are expecting he will play games for the Canucks this year, so they're looking forward to getting him. And, you know, depending on where they finish in the standings, could end up with another decent prospect with their first-round pick this year. But do I think the Canucks are a threat to make a long playoff run? No. But they work hard for Travis Green. They've got some young players who can certainly hurt you if you let them. And they're getting really good goaltending from Jacob Markstrom, especially against the Flames, it seems. But when you look at his overall body of work this year, it's been pretty darn good. So I think they're going to hang around in this playoff race, at least for the next little while.
Yeah, the takeaway for me was Markstrom. We know the kids are good and the kids will take some time, and that this group under Travis Green has only come to the rink and worked hard. There are no off nights under his watch. But Markstrom's an interesting case study, Pat. I mean, what do you do with him? I believe there's 1 year left on that contract with him, and you've got Thatcher Demko, the heir to the throne, not to mention Michael DiPietro, a young prospect who they like a lot. I wonder what that next year looks like for them, because I feel like they're close to competing, but they're not quite there. And would you dare walk him to free agency, or do you think it's easy to just bring him back? I mean, here's a guy that was a top prospect in the sport, I want to say 10 years ago, and he's finally arrived.
Well, remember, he was a big part of a trade not all that long ago that went the other way. So and was kind of a key part of that trade. So for a guy like Markstrom, I think having him sign for one more year is good, because it allows you to bring Demko along a little bit slower. You don't have to rush him or force him into being the number one guy. You can kind of ease him along with a more veteran guy like Markstrom. So I think that's important that he's under contract for next year. And my biggest takeaway from Vancouver on Saturday was the one thing that we had been talking about going in. You know, we talked to Joey Kenward and Dan Murphy on Friday, and both guys talked about how hard this team works and how they don't skirt the effort, and how you can count on one hand how many times the Canucks had, you know, given a fairly lazy effort this season. They did not, even though they were under siege for two-thirds of that hockey game, they weren't lazy. They still committed. They still did the things that they needed to do, and they found a way to get 2 points. So that's what I came away with, and nothing changed in terms of how I look at the Canucks after that game on Saturday. That's a hardworking team, and that's how they're going to stay competitive in this league. So they've got one more.
I mean,
go ahead, sorry.
If they are in the hunt come the trade deadline, I think they should probably just hold on to their guys. I think they owe that to their fans. Don't trade veteran guys away if you're in the hunt, like seriously in the hunt, not 5 points out. But if they do fall out of it, guys, it'll be interesting to see what they do with a guy like Alex Edler. I think there would be a really strong market for him out there. What you could do potentially is trade him before February 25th and then re-sign him during the offseason. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Canucks do moving forward here. If they can hang around in the playoff race, maybe they just stand pat. I really can't see them being buyers approaching the deadline, even if they're just in or just out of a playoff spot. But if they do fall out, they do have some guys who they could, again, continue to stock their cupboards with, whether that be bringing in picks or prospects or a combination of the two. And of those guys, I think Edler would probably be the most valuable commodity that teams would be looking for. Teams always want to add defensemen approaching the playoffs, so I think there would be a strong market for him. But, hey, if you're in the thick of it, you probably don't want to trade one of your top two defensemen. You'll hang on to him.
Good stuff, my friend. We will set up tomorrow with the Flames and Tampa Bay Lightning on our roundtable on Tuesday afternoon. It's a big game. Looking forward to that. But enjoy the rest of your day in Southwest Florida, my friend. Thank you, Wilsey.
Don't you want to know what I'm doing right now?
We do. What are
you're
you
riding your Harley. You just told
yeah,
us.
Yeah, you're riding your Harley.
what was that line you got me to do when I was co-hosting the morning show with you a couple of years ago?
Give me a motorcycle.
Motorcycle, yes. I'm not doing that. But I am sitting outside of a cigar shop in Ybor City. So Ybor City is kind of the old part of Tampa. and there's a really diverse population here. A lot of Cubans kind of settled in this area. So I thought when in Rome, I'll visit a cigar shop. I'm having a Cafe de Leche or something like that. It's quite a tasty coffee here. So I'm just trying to stay cool here in Tampa today.
Well, good luck with that. We wish you well.
That sounds very wonderful and highbrow.
It's plus 30 here, and we're throwing a baseball around earlier. It's too bad you missed out on this good weather.
Oh, darn. That sounds fun.
Talk to you tomorrow, Wilsey.
All right, guys. Have a good night.